You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
That's what I'm talking about. Do it right or don't do it at all.
She left a yellow rose and a long neck bottle on the table beside my bed.
That's right, my song.
A short little note said I had a good time. It was written in lipstick red. Walking around in my
sleep. Now, I woke up at like 2:15, wide awake last night. Why? By rights, I shouldn't, because I was tired, man. Tell you what, though, man, my dogs don't do that. They go to sleep, man, they're out. Those jackasses, they get about a solid, like, 17 or 18 hours every day. That's what they're doing right now. Just out. Yeah. I wish I could sleep like a dog. Anyhow. All right. Now, what you're going to hear next... With me commenting on it is not Toby Keith. I think first up is the Vice President of the United States. He spoke on what would have been CBS's Face the Nation. Yeah, I think it's CBS's Face the Nation. Alright. So let's see. How do I want to do this? All right, so you're going to hear the Vice President, and then you're going to hear Tom Cotton. And we might talk a little bit more. You might hear a little bit more of it. How much time we got? 37 minutes? No, we got time to do all of it. All right, good. All right, so, yeah, I really like Tom Cotton. I hope Tom Cotton runs for president someday. First up, you'll hear Mike Pence. This is yesterday.
Good morning and welcome to Face the Nation. We've got a lot to get to today. We will begin with
I think her name's Margaret Brennan from Face the Nation.
President Mike Pence. Mr. Vice President, good to see you. Good morning. Good
morning.
See, this is like me watching a baseball game and do a commentary on it. I like doing that.
A lot to talk to you about on Ron, but first I want to ask you about the President's announcement this morning that he has decided to delay the roundup of migrants. Why did the President...
Now, delay the roundup of migrants. Now, what does that sound like? I mean, it's like, oh, these poor people. No, these are people that came to the United States. They requested asylum in the country. They've gone through the legal process. Our courts have said, no, you don't have a case for asylum. You have to go back. You were using asylum as a pretense. You have to go back. And so there's a deportation, right, order with their name on it, okay, that you did not meet the threshold that you articulated when you came to this country. So you have to go home. That's what we're talking about. So when she says rounding up migrants, that's what she's talking about. I mean, that's bullshit, don't you think? I do. I hear that. And then you hear the question and the footnotes, and you're like, that's what we're talking about? Because that's not what it sounded like we were going to talk about.
Announce this law.
This may take longer than I thought.
Enforcement operation.
Well, first let's recognize we have a crisis on our southern border. We are on track this year to have more than 1 million people come across our border, and for the first time ever, the vast majority are families that are bringing children with them to exploit what we understand are loopholes in our asylum laws. I mean, if people come across our border, make a claim of asylum, we can detain them for only 20 days, and then they're released into the United States. The truth is 90% of those claims are denied, and the vast majority never show up for their hearing, you know, a year, 18 months down the road. So the president is doing his job. We both took an oath to faithfully execute the laws of this country. He set into motion an internal enforcement effort to remove people who've been given due process of law, who've been adjudicated through a court order, ordered to be deported. But the president, talking with Speaker Pelosi and other Democrats, made the decision to delay 2 weeks and to call on the Congress once again to close the loopholes that human traffickers are using.
Is that going to happen in 2 weeks? Family. You expect Congress to pass that in 2 weeks?
Honestly, the president, I believe it could happen in 15 minutes. If Democrats in Congress will simply step up and agree to close the loopholes that we know human traffickers are using to exploit vulnerable families, add to that more humanitarian assistance on this overwhelmed system, and we can solve the crisis.
You've lost the element of surprise because he announced the law enforcement operation, and that's why many are saying this is purely for political reasons that the president would announce rounding up of migrants.
Everyone that the president said.
Rounding up of migrants. The whole phraseology means that you're not really concerned about the truth, right? What you are concerned about is some kind of flashpoint headline that can go viral, blah, 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 blah.
That we're going to identify and arrest and deport have already gone through the legal process.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, it's just essential that Congress step up. I mean, the president declared a national emergency. We're already building a wall on the southern border. We'll have 400 miles built by the end of next year.
Mm-hmm.
But we recognize this new crisis of families coming up the peninsula, taking the long and dangerous journey north at the hands of human traffickers, often subject to violence and worse on the journey north.
We only solve that
by more humanitarian assistance for the Customs and Border personnel that are doing their job every day, and by closing the loopholes that human traffickers are using.
But the president's tweeting about rounding people up. He's not tweeting about some of the conditions that...
This just in, Margaret Brennan's husband is a former Marine JAG officer. That's a Marine lawyer. And they're kind of sort of Marines. A little bit. The good ones we accept. The bad ones, come on. Anyway, I don't know Brennan. I don't think. I've never been deposed by him. I know that.
Have been described as crisis level.
Now, listen to this. Again, it's like everything on the border, it sucks, and it's the president's fault. It's his personal fault. What are you doing about it? Now, remember, the executive branch doesn't control money. As the Speaker of the House loves to remind everybody, the purse strings belong to Congress.
In the facilities that the United States is running, not across the border, not people who are out loose in the United States, but in U.S. detention facilities. Right. And there have been details released over the past few days by lawyers who've gone down and looked, describing children sleeping on cold floors, filthy lice outbreaks, flu outbreaks, not in any way safe and sanitary conditions. Is that acceptable? And what is the White House going to do, since, as you say, Congress is doing nothing? What are you going to do?
Margaret, it's totally...
Is that acceptable? Right? The theater of all this, right? And again, this show is produced throughout the entire week, right? These questions are crafted throughout the entire week. Is that acceptable to you? Well, yes, it is. Of course it is. Do you think I care about young migrant children sleeping on concrete? Of course I don't. I'm the vice president. I got other things to do. Yeah, that might be what he says. It's just, ugh, my God.
Unacceptable. But the American people deserve to know that our dedicated Customs and Border Patrol agents are literally being overwhelmed by hundreds of thousands of people coming across our border to take advantage of loopholes in our laws.
So what are you going to do about it at the executive level? If you say Congress is not,
When the president declared a national emergency earlier this year, we were asking Congress in January to give us more bed space. Democrats in Congress refused. Congress continues, although Speaker Pelosi has indicated a willingness to look at a bill that would provide more humanitarian assistance. Over the next 2 weeks, we're going to look to get those resources as well as close the loopholes. But look, we've asked for more bed space. We've asked for more support. Our Customs and Border Patrol agents are doing a job, but the system is overwhelmed.
And the Homeland Security Secretary has sat here in your spot and said this, crisis levels for a year.
Look, it's not a dictatorship, Margaret. Now, I've just been informed, right, that that Margaret recently had a child, right? So, Margaret, figure it out. Congress has to approve that money, and they don't.
How is the executive totally powerless to do anything about these unsafe...
Margaret, do you need to go back to civics class?
Unsanitary conditions.
Well, we're doing a lot with what the Congress has given us.
Get that? It's money. It's funding. Right? You don't have 60 votes, it ain't getting through the Senate. Right? Even if you have a majority in the House, the Senate will block it. The House is controlled by the Democrats. They don't give a shit about immigration.
Again, Congress refused to increase the bed space in the last appropriations bill. They continue to delay
effort. So we just have to accept these conditions?
It's a democracy, Margaret. No, in a dictatorship that you... you know the funniest, stupidest shit that's going around the news is... What if Trump decides he won't leave office? Like, what? Like, no shit. Those articles, and people do segments on that. Like, wait a minute, what are you saying? Yeah, he loses the election, but he won't leave. Like, he barricades himself in his office? Is that what you're talking about? It's stupid, right? Margaret's killing me today.
Humanitarian support? No, absolutely not. It's one of the reasons why the president's taken the strong stand that he's taken on the crisis on our southern border. That's why the president took the strong stand that he took with Mexico just a few short weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He told the government in Mexico, we're going to start imposing tariffs starting at 5% on all goods coming into the United States unless Mexico steps up.
Right, but this is within U.S. borders.
Yeah, Margaret, I was in those negotiations with the Mexican delegation, the Secretary of State, and our team. And as we speak, Mexico is deploying 6,000 troops to their southern border. And for the first time ever, Mexico is taking back 100% of Central Americans mm-hmm. who apply for asylum in our country that will now remain in Mexico. We think that's part of the solution, but ultimately closing the loopholes, getting our dedicated Customs and Border Patrol agents more resources to deal with this overwhelming humanitarian crisis, that's how we address the issue. And the president and I are going to continue to stand strong, call on the Congress to do their job. It's amazing to think that Mexico has done more mm-hmm. to secure our southern border in the last 10 days than Democrats in Congress have done in the last 10 years.
Now, let me tell you, truth be told, that's one of the great, great lines that have come out of all the stuff that Mexico has done. Ohio man, he woke up out of his coma. I don't know where he's been. She is in full resist mode. CBS is CNN with more viewers. I watched the first 30 minutes of CBS this morning every day. Oh, how about that? Now we know where Ohio man gets his information from. Here's another one. Grill Nancy and AOC. AOC, look, right? We're running concentration camps on the border, right? AOC is like the female version of Donald Trump, right? Because she wagging that finger, right? And that head back and forth, and no, we ain't having that, and that we are not, you know, all that shit. And she never goes back and fact check that ass, right? Fact check AOC. And I saw something this morning that said, survivors of concentration camps, replied to AOC. But when you can play that fast and that loose with the truth, God help us. There's no one. Can't get any money past Nancy Pelosi. That is true. I mean, that's where it stops. How do the Democrats do nothing on immigration? Right? Do nothing on immigration. And no, they never get called out on it. right? Their friends in the media, they don't call the Democrats out. So, I don't know. It's just interesting. I love doing commentary. I'm enjoying this.
American people deserve better. We're going to continue to demand that Democrats in Congress step up.
Well, many would say that the people, those children deserve better who are already in U.S. custody.
They do. Can I say that? I was down at one of the detention centers. It is heartbreaking to see what you see. Families that are in these detention centers, what we have.
So what can you do?
Exactly what we're doing.
What don't you understand, Margaret? What don't you understand about democratic institutions? One of them funds, right? The other one, right, is the executive branch. Do you not understand that? Is she as hard on Democrats about why, if you control most, you have a huge say in what happens in the Senate because they can't get to 60 without you, and you control the House? Why can't you get something through? Why can't you do that? And then here's a more fundamental question. Why don't you do anything? Are you content with this situation? Why don't you dump the charcoal in the lap of somebody who's contributing nothing to the solution? That line, the Mexican government has done more than the Democrats, is only humorous because it's true. Think about that. That's the humor of it. The humor of it is that it's true. All right, Vice President.
Anything more
I've been in
blame on the Democratic-controlled House?
No, you can demand that the Congress do its job as the president.
Why isn't the president tweeting about it? He's tweeting about rounding people up. He's not.
Why is he tweeting about it? I mean, come on.
Tweeting about babies without diapers and sleeping on cold floors.
But
details that are horrific.
Part of the way that we stem this mass migration that's being driven by heartless human traffickers who are taking $5,000 a person to entice vulnerable families to come north, part of it is making clear that people will be deported. You know, in 2015, when President Obama did a round of nationwide internal enforcement and deported people out of the country, actually, we saw illegal immigration at the southern border go down. We have to secure the border with a wall.
Don't want to talk about Obama deporting people, right? That's the last thing we want to talk about. Nothing to see here. Let's move on. Let's talk about Iran.
To close the loopholes, Mexico has to implement.
Close the loopholes. That would be a congressional function.
The agreement that they've made. But Congress has got to step up. The president's going to continue to demand they do.
CBS.
And that's really, so the reason he announced this is a political stunt. Make no mistake about it. Congress is not going to, right, do anything in 2 weeks. Okay? Because they will never look like they're dancing to his tune, and they will never give him his victory down on the border. The wall. They will not play that game. And in the meantime, if kids suffer from it for it, if families suffer, then so be it. That's a political game. And so he is upping the visibility of the issue for 2 weeks, and he'll beat that drum, but that's about it. Here's another one. Children and babies on cold floors are pawns for political leverage. I think I just said that. This is obviously a great mind, old Brad. What about babies on cold floors being gassed by Assad? Wasn't good enough for President Obama to act, but that's a different issue.
Confirmed that the U.S. has conducted cyber operations to hit facilities in Iran linked to missile and rocket launches. Is this retaliation for shooting down the U.S. drone?
Well, Margaret, as you know, we never comment on covert operations.
Has there been any retaliation for shooting down the U.S. drone?
Well, as I said, I can't speak to that. What I can tell you is that as of tomorrow, we expect the president to announce an additional round of sanctions in response to Iran's downing of an American unmanned vehicle, as well as in a very real sense in the wake of what was clearly Iran's action in attacking two tankers in the Straits. But look, what the president did on Thursday was listen to all.
You know, Mike Pence has this kind of whiny way that he talks. What the president did on. Man, come on, Mike. Ramp it up a little bit, man. Get fired up.
Of his advisors, but at the end of the day, the president concluded that seeing the potential of 150 people killed in an American airstrike when an unmanned American vehicle had been downed in airspace was not a proportional response. But Iran should not confuse American restraint with a lack of American resolve. This president's made it clear. We are going to protect American forces in the region. We're going to protect American interests in the region. And the United States of America will never allow Iran to obtain a nuclear weapon.
Well, Iran says it's going to increase its stockpile of enriched uranium. Is there a red line for the president that could happen this week?
Well, Iran has announced that literally in a matter of days that they're going to exceed right. the uranium enrichment limits within the Iran nuclear deal, which in our judgment was one of the worst deals this country had ever entered into. You know, I was in the Congress back in 2010 when on a bipartisan basis we were able to enact punishing sanctions on Iran.
And that is the U.S. strategy at this point, is to continue to strangle Iran's economy. And it's devastated its economy. But
here's the
question is, what is the strategy? Because it only seems like Iran's lashing out.
But
the region's more unstable. They're struggling here.
The American people deserve to know.
Somebody ask a question and somebody give an answer, kids.
Congress, on a bipartisan basis, enacted sanctions. And from 2010 to 2012, even all the way to 2015, they were working. Iran's economy was contracting.
But is that the goal, just to strangle their economy? I thought the goal was to get to the negotiating table.
What we want to do is stand with the Iranian people, thousands of which gathered outside the White House on Friday, and tens of thousands of which took to the streets last year in communities across Iran. We want to stand with them to see Iran come forward, step into a future, and embrace freedom.
Do that. Are you suggesting that the U.S. would do something to support people if they came up to try to throw over the regime? I thought the policy was no regime.
You know, this is like, this gives me a headache listening to it, right? And is this the part of this? Is ask a question and let him answer it. I don't like this. Do you remember Tim Russert? Right? He would ask, and he was to me the best. I mean, it didn't sound like this shit when he did it.
Since the Green Revolution in 2009, the United States has made it clear that we're with the Iranian people. I thought that the president's decision to refrain from a military strike when he learned it could cost 150 Iranian lives, I hope that sends a message to the Iranian people that while we stand firmly against the Ayatollahs, we have the highest hopes for the Iranian people. But it's time for Iran to recognize that the United States of America will never allow them to obtain a nuclear weapon. That would be a threat to our country, a threat to our cherished ally, Israel.
Okay, let me tell you this. The United States is not who won't allow Iran to get a nuclear weapon. Israel will not allow Iran to get a nuclear weapon, okay? For good reason. The Iranians might use it on them, okay? The United States, left to our own devices, we'll let them get a nuclear weapon, right? No problem.
And a threat to the world. But if Iran is willing to abandon their nuclear ambitions and end this reign of terror of 40...
Well, they said it. I want to ask you about North Korea.
But for 40 years, they've propagated terror. They're the leading state sponsor of terror in the world. Those days must come to an end, and America is going to continue to stand resolved with the people of Iran for a better future for them.
Mr. Vice President, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Margaret.
Joined now by Senator Tom Cotton, a member of both the intelligence and armed services.
I like Cotton. Cotton's a former Army guy from Arkansas. Just wrote a book about being part of the old guard at Fort Myers in Washington, D.C., and working kind of the whole Tomb of the Unknown thing, along with all the ceremonial details around D.C. So he is he's bright, he's experienced around the world, so very well spoken. And not as kind of plaintive and whiny as the vice president is, in my opinion. He's always wincing and trying to explain and some kind of like tone. He needs to get a little bit more edgy, in my opinion.
Committee and author of the new book, Sacred Duty, A Soldier's Tour at Arlington National Cemetery. Senator, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
Chris, thanks for having me on.
Last Sunday, you called for a military strike against Iran after it had attacked two foreign ships near the Strait of Hormuz. Here you are.
Unprovoked attacks on commercial shipping warrant a retaliatory military strike against the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Well, this week, as we all know, Iran went after and shot down a U.S. Navy drone, and President Trump first ordered and then called off a retaliatory strike. What do you think of the president's move?
Chris, obviously, I think retaliatory strikes were warranted when we were talking about foreign vessels on the high seas. I think they were warranted against an American unmanned aircraft. What I see is Iran steadily marching up the escalation chain. It started out with threats. It went to an attack on vessels in ports. It went to an attack on vessels at sea. Now it's an unmanned American aircraft. I fear that if Iran doesn't have a firm set of boundaries drawn around its behavior, we're going to see an attack on a U.S. ship or U.S. manned aircraft. This is exactly what we saw in the 1980s when Iran for 4 years was allowed to attack ships on the high seas, over 190 attacks in the Iran-Iraq war. Ronald Reagan finally lost his patience after one of those mines hit a U.S. Navy frigate, and then he launched one of the largest naval engagements since World War II. I hope that that's not the case. I hope the president's statement on Friday and a statement yesterday that we will not tolerate any kind of attack on an American service member anywhere in the region gets through to the leaders in Tehran. I worry, though, that they have a long history of marching up this escalation ladder anytime they face the kind of strategic challenge they face right now, thanks to the administration's maximum pressure campaign.
You were very critical of President Obama's failure to enforce his red line against Syria after a chemical attack, saying that it raised questions about how strong U.S. security commitments and statements by the president were. President Trump has repeatedly gone after Mr. Obama on the same thing. Take a look.
When he didn't cross that line after making the threat, I think that set us back a long ways, not only in Syria, but in many other parts of the world, because it was a blank threat.
Does this run the risk of being President Trump's red line moment?
Okay. One thing's, and you know, it's one of the questions that he has to ask, right? But make no mistake, before Cotton answers it, right? The more lethal response is the current response. It's to work the ally piece of this, show restraint, work the ally piece of it, and shut their shit off. That's the more lethal response. The economic response has the potential to change the regime. The military response, you know, will more than likely galvanize, right, the Iranian people behind their country against the great Satan. So, again, now, I know this is what? This is just theater, right? It's not supposed to be about the truth. It's just news theater. So, but again, I get irritated.
Chris, I see some differences between the two situations. So first, President Obama's Syria policy was a mess. Second, he himself, in his own words, drew that red line. And then third, he failed to enforce it. Here, President Trump's Iran policy is working. It's probably the first time in 40 years where we've had the initiative against Iran. One reason they're lashing out is because of the maximum pressure campaign that has driven their economy to near depression levels of activity. Second, he had not drawn any such red line in his own language. He didn't take military strikes last week in an overt or conventional fashion, but he has said very clearly what we will not tolerate. Iran or its proxies making any kind of attack on American service members or citizens in the region. And he's also said that major sanctions are going to be added tomorrow, which is only going to increase the sanctions that they already face, which is one very positive result so far of the maximum pressure campaign.
Iran now says, I mean, I think it's fair to say attacks on ships and drones, serious as they are kind of the sideshow. The big deal is the Iran nuclear deal. And Iran now says that it is going to violate that deal this week, that it is going to exceed the limit on its stockpile of enriched uranium.
Hey, what a fucking shocker, huh? Nobody expect. Oh, what? What's going to happen? They're going to violate. They're not going to live by the terms of. Come on, man. What are you, stupid?
That perhaps it is going to violate the limit on uranium, go from 3.5% enriched up to 20%, putting it closer to a nuclear weapon. If it does that and gets closer to a nuclear weapon, what should the U.S. response be? And are you at all concerned that the president's back and forth this week, where he ordered an attack and then called it back, may, perhaps unrealistically, encourage the mullahs to think they can get away with that?
Well, first, Chris, I'd say about Iran's threats to enrich uranium to levels beyond what was permitted in the nuclear deal. That's really going to be a question for the Europeans, whether they want to continue this charade of pretending that Iran may continue to obey those limits and they could engage in some kind of trade with Iran that bypasses American sanctions. I would say to those European leaders that given the fact that the president exercised restraint in this last week, they should view that as an opening to double down with the United States on those sanctions if Iran bypasses those enrichment limits. But just like an attack on an American ship or any harm to an American service member or citizen in the region, the president has also been very clear. He will not allow Iran to approach a nuclear weapon.
President Trump, as you point out, says that he's going to impose major new sanctions on Iran starting tomorrow. But he also says that if Iran were to change its way of doing things, that it could turn into an economic powerhouse. Take a look at what the president said.
If Iran wants to become a wealthy nation again, become a prosperous nation, we'll call it, let's make Iran great again. Does that make sense? Make Iran great again. It's okay with me.
Now, that's the same offer he made to North Korea, that if they gave up their nuclear weapons, that he would turn them into an economic, or help them become an economic powerhouse. Do you really think that repressive regimes like North Korea and Iran are going to give up their nuclear ambitions in return for the blessings of Western capitalism?
Chris, I'd probably adhere here to what Ronald Reagan once said about the Soviet Union, trust but verify. The president's policy, as announced by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo in his 12-point speech last year, was very clear. The administration is not going to renegotiate the Obama-era nuclear deal. They're not going to just put a few new provisions on it. They want Iran to change its campaign of terror throughout the region and drop its imperial ambitions. So that means things like stopping support for terrorist groups like Hezbollah and Hamas and rebel groups in places like Yemen that are trying to overthrow legitimate government, supporting military proxy forces in Iraq. If they will adhere to those 12 points that Secretary Pompeo laid out on behalf of Donald Trump and negotiate a genuine and verifiable end to their nuclear program, then we could have a different kind of relationship with Iran. And that would be much to the benefit of the Iranian people, as the president laid out yesterday.
But Iran's not being ruled, right, to benefit the Iranian people. It is being ruled to benefit the small faction of fundamentalists, right, who see Iran and reestablishing Iran as the Persian Empire, the restoration of the Persian Empire that runs in a crescent from Iran to the Mediterranean. That's who it benefits, all right? From Brad, Pence has a Reagan-esque style without the style. Reagan was funny. Pence isn't funny. Pence is like a serious kind of dour guy, right? If I was Trump, I'd ask Nikki Haley, right? Before I'd keep Pence, I'd ask Nikki Haley. Hey, Nikki, you want to be my vice president? Jesus, she's tough, man. I'd vote for Nikki Haley for president, just like I'd vote for Tom Cotton. Nikki Haley, man, she was awesome at the UN, calling people out. She rips a mask there. Cotton is not a blind Trump follower, will criticize when warranted, and he's right, shouldn't have broadcast an attack, then backed off, unless a larger motive. Open source reporting, did they do it just for cosmetics? Was it all part of the planned scenario? Because let me tell you, restraining the response is kind of the no-brainer, right? If that was all part of the choreography, then it makes sense to me. If it wasn't part of the choreography and he was down with the retaliation, military retaliation, then changed his mind, that's not so good. So I would concur with Brad. If it was part of the script, I don't really understand the script. So I understand the restraint. It's a more deadly course of action, but I don't understand the execution of it. All right, Tom Cotton continues.
It would seem to me, in any case, that the prospects that Iran, you're basically talking about the Islamic regime completely changing its colors, completely changing the way it acts. You've got the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. You've got hardliners in Tehran. Do you think that the prospect of American capitalism is going to get them to change that?
That's why I say a healthy dose of skepticism is warranted when you're dealing with regimes like the Ayatollahs. But let's be clear, Chris. Secretary Pompeo didn't ask them to turn into a Western European-style parliamentary democracy. He asked them to behave like a normal nation, to stop committing acts of terrorism and supporting terror groups, stop trying to overthrow governments in the region, stop attacking shipping on the high seas. Those are very reasonable requests that we would expect of any civilized and normal nation.
Speaking of North Korea, the regime there says that President Trump sent a letter to Chairman Kim that he has received over the weekend, and that Kim, quote, will contemplate the interesting content of the letter. Really the same question. How optimistic are you that Iran will ever agree to denuclearize through diplomacy?
Again, Chris, I think healthy skepticism is warranted here. What we should do with Iran is exactly what the president has done with North Korea since Kim Jong-un made unreasonable demands in the Hanoi summit in February, and the president rightly walked away from that summit. We should keep the maximum pressure campaign on, give them no quarter, give them the opportunity to begin to act like a normal nation and try to seek relief in return for tangible and verifiable commitments. But healthy skepticism is warranted anytime you deal with someone like Kim Jong-un or the Ayatollahs.
President Trump has also delayed a...
Cotton's good. Healthy skepticism.
...roundup that was supposed to begin today of migrant families that have already been given their deportation orders. He says...
Oh, wait a minute. Did he just say of migrant families that have already been given their deportation orders? Oh, that's a little bit different than our girl Margaret was lipping off about, right? Rounding up of migrants? Interesting. A complete thought that's more factually accurate. The media, man. No wonder everybody hates him.
Giving Congress 2 weeks to work out, to reform the asylum system, and otherwise he'll impose the roundup. I don't have to tell you, you have a little bit of a look on your face. The likelihood, you talk about healthy skepticism, Congress isn't going to reform the asylum system in 2 weeks, sir.
So, Chris, I was going to say healthy skepticism is warranted for dealing with Democrats when it comes to immigration. Let's just think about the Democrats' position here, Chris. These are people who have claimed asylum in our country. They've had their day in court, they've had their claims rejected, and now they face a valid and final order of removal. If we can't deport people like that, who can we deport? That's why the Democrats' position ultimately comes back to, in essence, open borders.
So what do you think of the president's decision to hold off on the roundup of these people who should be deported?
Two weeks for a couple thousand families is not going to make a big difference. And if we could get a genuine law passed through Congress that would address the asylum reforms that we need to stop the crisis at the border, that would be a good thing. But again, I go back to this point. If you can't deport an illegal alien as a valid and final order of removal that's adjudicated by an immigration judge, who can you deport?
Finally, you have written, as we mentioned at the beginning.
Hold on. Did everybody hear that? If you can't deport somebody who comes to this country and claims asylum, right? If you can't deport them after their hearing's been adjudicated, right? If you can't do that, who can you deport? And people are going to scream and yell about deporting migrants who ICE, quote unquote, Gestapo, right? It's like so stupid. So ICE is rounding up migrants who've been ordered to be deported by American courts, okay? And that's the Gestapo. No. The Gestapo rounded up Jews and took them to concentration camps and exterminated them. Okay, that's what they did. It's just bullshit. It's just bullshit narrative that goes on every day in this country.
New book called Sacred Duty, A Soldier's Tour at Arlington National Cemetery. What did you learn about your tour of duty at Arlington guarding the Tomb of the Unknowns, dealing with Section 60, which, of course, is the area where the people who died in the global war on terrorism are buried. What did you learn from that experience?
Well, it was a true honor to serve at Arlington National Cemetery when I did, and to be back at the cemetery last year with the young soldiers, some of whom you'll profile on your show later today, who are honoring our fallen heroes. But given this fact that we're on a political show here, I'll just say that one thing I see when I'm in Arlington is the reverence, the respect, the gratitude, even the love that everyone has, no matter their political views or partisan affiliation, for our fallen heroes and for the young soldiers who honor them. You know, Arlington was born in the ashes of the Civil War, the most divisive time in our country. And I think it's a good reminder that no matter how divided our times seem to be today, that there are still many things that we hold in common and hold dear as a country that unites us as Americans.
Senator Cotton, thank you. Thanks for your time. And as you point out, we have a terrific story about the a power player story at the end of the show about a unit of the old guard. And you're exactly right. The reverence they have for the fallen there at Arlington is quite extraordinary and quite inspiring. And as you say, a good message for all of us. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. There you have it. There's some more, but we're out of time. So that'll do it for... That'll do it for the day today. It's just interesting, this whole story on immigration, right? And the deplorable conditions that exist down there. They're for budgetary reasons, okay? Can't give them this, can't do that because we're running out of money. How do we do it? Well, nobody will give us more money. So we can't do anything else. Who's in charge of the money? Congress, okay? Congress is in charge of the money. Cue Ms. Pelosi. And then you'll get the audio. Well, we can't trust this president. So we'll do nothing. So there'll be pause. You don't even hear any discussion about the Dreamers anymore. The Democrats, and again, the crazy part of it is they don't get taken to task at all for it. She never gets hammered. Why don't... In her, like, weekly press thing she does, she's not very good anymore. I mean, that's pretty painful to watch. Whether you like her or not, simply the way she articulates, I mean, wow, you watch and you're like, holy shit, man. Anyhow, she got a firm grasp of the house, though. She doesn't get hammered in that thing. Why aren't you doing something? What do you have to say to these people? Yeah, the president's part of this, but you're the other part of this. And then you get to, so that's just the House. And then kick it to the Senate and see where that goes. Senate doesn't do shit anymore. Yeah, that whole vote of 60, that was never part of the Constitution. It's never part of the way the Founding Fathers envisioned that you would need 60 votes to bring something, right, to the floor of the House. 60. Not 50. It's a simple majority. This custom was adopted in the early 1800s. Yeah. Our Congress that doesn't do shit. All right. That'll do it. If you're just joining us, what's up? All right, if you're just tuning in, we're going to talk about the news today. President made some news. So that's in the news. You'll hear, I really like that. I should do that as a regular feature. All right, so that'll do it. I do enjoy doing color commentary over that shit. The questions, though, I mean, God almighty, man. That's why I'm more of a PBS guy. Ask a question, let him answer it, follow up. Right? If you have to call bullshit on him, call bullshit on him. But, my God. I just stuff that doesn't embrace the truth and the whole truth pisses me off. Because that means you're part of the problem. That means you're not looking for the truth. I don't like that. So on a Monday, have a great day. We'll check out the news. We'll see you tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. On a Monday, All Marine Radio, over and out.